Here we are in December, Bloomington with Mayor John Hamilton. Can't believe it's December already. Thanks so much for having us again.
Nice to be with you, Joe. Welcome back.
I wanted to start right off with the big announcement, maybe one of the biggest announcements since you've taken office, about the city's quest to build this fiber network. I wanted to get your take on how, is it Axia?
Yes.
Became your top choice, and how difficult was it to go through that process?
Well, it was a big step, Joe. I've emphasized it's one step in a process. We're not done with this, but we've worked very hard to find the right partner. I've said for quite some time, high-speed fiber internet access is to the 21st century what electricity was to the 20th century, and maybe trains to the 19th century. I mean, it's really important for our community's future. And we worked hard to try to find the right partner. We got 12 companies that came back to us with ideas. We whittled it down, interviewed and discussed with a lot of them. And I'm very pleased with Axia as a good match, because what we really wanted in Bloomington was three things, in my view. First, that anybody who worked with us builds a citywide system, that we don't leave neighborhoods behind. It's like building a road system. You gotta cover everything. Second, that it be an open network in some way, either city-controlled, community-controlled, or otherwise open, similar to a road metaphor, if you will. You don't want to build roads that nobody else can use, that only one company uses. When we have packages delivered, the Postal Service, FedEx, UPS, they all use the roads. And so we want a digital infrastructure that'll help promote competition. And the last thing was that it be financially feasible, meaning it didn't put the city at risk. I'm really pleased that Axia, this is a company that has come through this dialogue, is interested in all those things. It agrees with those approaches. They still have to do a couple steps. So this company is looking at investing tens of millions of dollars in our community. They want to make sure they know the costs, so they're doing that right now, getting detailed costs. And second, they're going to do, if the costs look good, which we hope they will, they'll do what they call an expression of interest, which means basically talk to the community and see who's interested in gigabit speed, $80 a month internet. And if that's good, they're going to build.
I like your analogy of the roads, because I think the bottom line is when residents hear about this, they want to know, well, okay, how does this affect me? Does this mean all of a sudden I can plug into this? Is this for companies? Does this mean there's going to be free Wi-Fi downtown? I mean, what's the bottom line for the residents here in Bloomington?
Right. So the bottom line really is we are trying to create infrastructure, attract it, somebody to build it, that will let every premise in Bloomington, a house, an apartment, build a business, have access to gigabit speed internet. That means 1,000 megabits a second. High quality, top quality internet.
And that's not here right now.
It is not here. Some businesses have it. Businesses can get it. Really, no households can get it. On campus, they have very high speed connectivity in where they need it. But we don't have it in the city. And AT&T, Comcast, Smithville, our main three providers, really don't provide it. Smithville's looking at it in a few little isolated pockets, but nobody's got this solution. So what that means for a household is it's not free. It's like you got to pay to get the internet access, but it's high quality. And what we really like about this too is it's internet that will promote competition. We hope it'll mean more companies can compete for your business. It puts the customer in charge. So you can decide who's coming on that road. You can decide what you're going to order. And I think it's really the future, that high-speed internet is how more and more content's going to be delivered. In fact, it's actually the kind of the backbone for the best mobile systems, too. So it's going to be important for the community.
So the main concern that I've read about center around, you know, and again, I like this comparison that you put with a road, around a private for-profit company having what some think a monopoly over this community infrastructure need. Do you see a concern there?
It is an appropriate question, absolutely. It's one reason some cities build this themselves, particularly if they have an electric infrastructure that they base it on. But some cities have chosen to build this themselves, and we looked at that. It's hard from my perspective to justify tens and tens of millions of dollars investment publicly if a private company can meet our objectives. Now, So it is important whether this network that gets built will be accessible to others. And some models, some companies wanted to build that kind of monopoly where it was theirs alone, they were the only one to use it. That's still better than nothing because that still means we got a new competitor to AT&T, Comcast, Smithfield that gives us more choice. But in the Axiom model, the whole design is that that network is available to others to use. Smithville can use the Axia fiber that gets built to sell to more customers. Comcast and AT&T, Jill's internet service provider would be able to use this system. So it's encouraging an open use of those roads, if you will.
So then why that week after that announcement was made, there was a quote from Smithville in the Herald Times that they called this unnecessarily disruptive. Have you been in touch with them? Why does it seem like their take is negative on this?
I'm in regular communication with Smithville, and we work very closely with them in this whole process to try to see the potential role for them. So I think the short answer is McDonald's doesn't like it when Burger King comes to town. Local businesses, any business that's in operation, if they have a direct competitor come in, Blooming Foods, and Lucky's. That's tough. It's hard in the marketplace. We know that. So it's not unnatural that a company that's here is going to be a little disappointed that a new company is coming to compete for the same thing. Now, we've worked very hard with Smithville in particular to try to make sure this, whatever does get built, can help them. Smithville does not have the capacity right now to compete against AT&T and Comcast citywide. They're not competing for the residential services all through the city. They can't build fiber everywhere. My belief is that if and when this system gets built by Axia, in the end, Smithville will look at that and say, I now have 20,000 more customers that I couldn't reach before, and I can market and reach more of them. But I understand it's not easy, and we're sympathetic to that, but new companies, new investment is helping move Bloomington toward the future.
So then what's next?
So over the next couple months, Axia and some of their partners are going to be trying to get the exact price, if you will, what it's going to take to build this. Underground poles, different access, how it will be done. If that price turns out to be above X, and we don't know exactly what that is, they won't build it because they can't make the economics work. We'll talk to them more, but that could happen. I don't think it will, but it could. If the price is below X, then the next stage is they conduct a campaign basically to say, who wants this kind of internet? And it'll be very public. It'll encourage people to express interest online or other ways. And if we get sufficient interest from the community, then they'll build the system. And that should all happen by the summer of 2017, so over the next few months.
Another big announcement, Switchyard Park, finally seeing some maybe action now. A lot of talk. Bulldozers this coming year.
Yes, I mean, Joe, I feel very fortunate. You know, in the announcement of that, I talked about Tommy Allison and John Fernandez and Mark Cruzan. They all worked on this park, and I'm the guy who happens to be in the seat when we're going to be able to build it. It's a great new park for the city. I spent some time this year reviewing the plans, looking at some of the options. We tweaked it some, for example, to bury electric lines that were going to be big lines across the park. We wanted to change that and improve it in ways we think can make it even better. And yes, we announced that in 2017, we'll start building the infrastructure. Big sewer line has to go in. We'll start to be doing the planning, detailed design for that. And then the plan is to have the park open as quickly as possible by 2019. Very exciting. It's going to be a whole new neighborhood, a whole new part of town, and it's going to be a park like we've never had before.
And that comes along really soon, the announcement, the B-Link Trail is open, and you're also moving along with the Redevelopment Commission budgeting about $1.86 million for six properties near the park. Now, are those sites for future development, or is that part of the park?
So, you know, the community is going to put about $25 million plus into this park. We bonded for that before I got into office, and we're going to make sure that we build a great park. And by the way, we're trying to raise about $5 million from the private sector. So all of you listening and watching, you know, we encourage you to support that park. That's going to create good things around it. The B-Link helps tie that park into the east a little bit over to Henderson. And the properties around the park that we're looking at are really not meant to be in the park or publicly owned, but it's really trying to help steer and cause good things to happen around the park, because this is going to change a lot over the next 20, 30, 40 years around that park, and we want to see good things happen around. We want to see more people living around the park. We want to see a mix of incomes around the park. We want to see good development around the park that will activate it and create this great new neighborhood. So we're trying to play a catalyzing role, I guess I would say, around the park.
Is it too early to say if those owners are willing to sell right now?
It is too early. We're okay. Talking with them. The city has very strict rules about how we do that. We can make a particular offer. We can't really haggle much. We can make an offer based on the appraisal. If they choose to sell, we'll buy it. If they don't choose to sell, it's not like we can bid it up too much, really.
In more recent news, the Bloomington Metropolitan Firefighters accepted a deal from the city that offers several improvements for the group. Now, the deal, though, does come after a review which shows some firefighters were incorrectly paid for overtime earlier. Is this kind of in reaction to that?
No, they're really two separate things. But in terms of the overtime, for a number of years, we found out as we got in and really dug into this that the very complicated overtime rules for a job like a firefighter just hadn't been complied with. So you don't mess around with overtime. If you didn't do it right and you owe people money, you pay them, in my view. So we did that. I'm very happy with the bargaining result. We spent 9 months, I think, around the table with the firefighters and the fire department trying to look at the future, the next 4 years. We got a contract that was approved by a good majority of the firefighters, and it's one that we think is good. A couple things about it. Number one, it puts in place a quartermaster system, meaning we buy their equipment, not them. People, I would think, would be surprised to know that the current system has firefighters buying their own gear, choosing what kind of gear to have, and sometimes not buying the best gear. We want all our firefighters in top quality, safe gear, not differentiating. When you send three members into a fire, if one of them has a weaker suit, all three of them have to do what that weaker suit can do because they're a team. So that system is now going to be in place, and we can get better deals bulk purchasing and some other little tweaks to the system. They're getting a 2% raise every year. They're our frontline defenders. We depend upon them every day. I'm really proud of them and glad we were able to reach an agreement with them.
And I hear a new fire truck, too, is coming. Or is here.
Yes.
I'm
we
not
have
sure. Is it here?
Yes, it's here. I'm really pleased. The council and we worked together early in the year to try to replace some vastly needed equipment. And we got a $500,000 fire truck. These things aren't cheap. A new engine. And it was a great ceremony down by the South High School on Henderson. We had what's called a push-in ceremony. When you get a new fire truck, in tradition, the community used to push it into the garage. Now, I'm told the reason they pushed it in because the old horses that pulled the fire trucks were not very good at backing up. So the people pushed the fire truck in. So we got a group, including a couple linemen from South High School, and we pushed a 45,000-pound truck into the garage. It was a lot of fun.
Wow. Something that I covered with the IU trustees was the new hospital that is now officially moving forward. They're looking at design plans in February. I know the city has to be excited about that. But there's still the committee and meeting of the current
site. Yeah.
And that's still moving forward, I assume.
It is, Joe. So, yes, I mean, we have one of our largest employers that's building a $300+ million new facility, expanding services, state-of-the-art connection with the IU that's going to be terrific on the Near East Side, 10th and the Bypass. That's a great thing. We're working closely with them on that. As you note, that does mean in 2020, we're told the hospital will move from its current location on West 2nd Street to this new regional campus. And the efforts to think about what we should do, we collectively as a community should do with that current location are ongoing. City doesn't own that land. It's owned by IU Health, and there's private medical offices who own a lot of land around it. But we certainly are a full partner in trying to think about how do we activate that land to be used well for the generations to come.
So here it is, December 2016. We talked about broadband, Switchyard Park. We've already talked about the Trades District earlier in previous episodes,
yes.
The new hospital. How do you feel year one? This is your first year as mayor.
Well, I feel very privileged to be mayor of Bloomington. I mean, it's a great community, and I feel very lucky to be mayor here. It's a great community, and It's been a fun year. We've spent a lot of time getting the right team together, getting people in place. You know, there's nothing more important than having the right people with you as you work, and I'm very proud of the group we have. We've worked very hard on affordable housing, which we haven't talked about lately as much, perhaps, but trying to make sure this community, which is doing well, will work for people from all walks of life, from a young artist to a switchyard operator, to a parks, to a hospital attendant, to anybody, to professors and all. So we're working really hard on that. We've had some good progress in that. I've also really worked hard to open government doors up. I said I want to throw the doors open literally and figuratively. We've had Mayor at the Market. We've had weekly meetings with lots of people. We have a new website, Be Clear, which is growing every day, really, with new data on it, and trying to make sure we're as transparent as possible. The government belongs to people. This has been a hard year in some ways, a hard fall for government. People in my shoes, you know, we wonder where some things are going. I know that Bloomington is the same Bloomington today that we were in early November, and we have the same commitment to an open, progressive, great city, and it's really exciting to be part of that.
And then how about you personally now, you know, as your first year as mayor, have you changed? Do you see things differently?
Well, let's see. I think I'm going to have to pledge to exercise more because I've been busy, and I get to walk a lot, but I still want to exercise more. It's a great thing when you're mayor, when you walk through the city, when you meet with people, I think there's kind of a natural sense stewardship, I guess, maybe, where you feel responsible for this pothole or that trash barrel or this person who was frustrated by something that happened, and that's a nice thing. I mean, I feel like I'm a kind of a family member with 85,000 people on trying to make a nice place to live. So it's been good, and I look forward to continuing the work.
You know, I was going to ask you for a little Christmas message too before we go here, but I had to bring up if you were surprised at the response that you received after the city changed those two off days from Christmas and was it Good Friday?
Yeah, from Good Friday and Columbus Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Were you surprised at that response?
I was surprised. I mean, we got a lot of response from around the country as stuff hits the social media, you know. I'll say this. Look, I grew up in the church. I attend. I'm a member of the Methodist Church. I certainly feel the importance of religion in my life and others, people respect it in other people's life, but I don't think that's government's role. You know, government's not here to promote or represent a particular religion. I think it's particularly important for those of us in a majority religion to be sensitive to that, and I think it was the right thing to do. Yes, it. I think particularly with the timing of the election, the national election, some people got very exercised. But, you know, our country's great because we're diverse. Our community's great because we're diverse. We welcome everyone. We need to work to make sure we welcome everyone. And that means from government, trying to make sure we are very sensitive to these kinds of issues. So I expect we'll keep talking about it, and I'm happy to talk about it with people and want to encourage everybody to celebrate all the holidays they want whenever they want. And as holiday season is approaching, I hope everybody will have great holiday time with family and worshiping the way they want, honoring whomever they want, and continuing to enjoy Bloomington with its great melting pot and diversity that we have.